Marvel's Black Panther is a technical and cultural achievement. It stands atop the cinematic universe as Marvel Studios' most complete film. Wakanda is a wonder, and the cast of characters shine in every way. Minor plot holes aside, the performances are outstanding, with Michael P. Jordan's turn as Eric Killmonger stealing the show. Boasting the Marvel Cinematic Universe's most compelling villain to date, the Black Panther is truly a marvel. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Everything Podcast. I am your host, Lou from the BX, a.k.a. Louis Balboa, a.k.a. your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster, the Loose Cannon Podcasting, and this is the first ever Everything Twincast. We're doing a Black Panther review today for you guys, for you all to enjoy. I've seen the movie. I've been quiet on social media because I've been putting little tidbits out, but I have not gone into full thoughts on what the movie is because I was saving it for this. And for this being such a special occasion, I've decided to bring in the official Marvel Cinematic Universe expert. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, if you would?
I don't know about all that, but yo, it's your boy Joe Bruno, a.k.a. Broadway Joe, a.k.a. El Cantante, coming at you.
All right. How you feeling? How you feeling, big man?
I'm good, bro. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I know. We haven't talked in so long. It's been a while.
Oh, man, this is exciting, though. I'm happy to be on here with you.
I appreciate you making the time. I know you had a busy day. I know you got to see the movie today. I don't know if you were able to collect your thoughts. It's a lot.
So much.
It's a lot. So basically, for whoever's listening to this show, we're going to give you a fan's review of the Black Panther that came out this weekend. If you're not sure about what the Black Panther is, I can give you a quick, tiny little synopsis of what this movie is. And it basically goes like this. After the death of his father, T'Challa, after the death of his father, T'Challa returns home to the African nation of Wakanda to take his rightful place as king. After a powerful enemy reappears, T'Challa's mettle as king and as Black Panther gets tested when he's drawn into conflict. Wow, I can't even read my own handwriting. This is a terrible beginning to this podcast. After the death of his father, T'Challa returns home to the African nation of Wakanda to take his rightful place as king. When a powerful enemy reappears, T'Challa's mantle as king and Black Panther gets tested when he's drawn into conflicts that puts the fate of Wakanda and the entire world at peril. So, I think it's safe to say that I'm not really a Black Panther expert. I don't know how much knowledge you have on the Black Panther.
Bro, I'm right there with you. I ain't even gonna front. I love the character, but I love him from experiencing him in other things with, you know, team-ups and stuff like that. To say that I picked up a Black Panther comic and stuff like that, I'd be lying.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. I've got plenty of comic books. I can't even tell you if I have an actual Black Panther comic. I've got comics that he's been in. We're familiar with him through either the comics or the cartoons. Or even games that we've played that Black Panther's been in. But to say that I'm a Black Panther expert, I can't do that.
And but it's sad because he's such a phenomenal character, and he deserves his due to be up there with Batman and all these other characters because he has such a deep lore to him, and he didn't get the respect he deserved.
Yeah, he's definitely right now on the come up. Me and the wife today were watching Civil War. And I just fast-forwarded to when T'Challa came out. Just watched from there on.
I don't blame you at all.
So basically, anyone listening to the show right now, what we're going to do for you is we're going to attempt to do, and we're gonna try to do our best here. We're gonna give you our initial thoughts. We're gonna go non-spoiler. Okay, we're gonna start off non-spoiler, give our impressions, you know, what the movie, what we experienced, our thoughts, our final review thoughts for the show, and then once we're done with that, we'll let you know, we're coming to the end of the non-spoiler territory, and we're going to go full spoiler. So if you just want to stay tuned for the first part of the show, and you don't want to be spoiled, you'll be good to go. But if you've seen the movie, you can stick around for the second part, and we're going to completely spoil everything. So what were your initial thoughts like? What's your overall right now feeling about this movie?
They knocked it out the park. They swung for the fences, and it went over the fence and beyond. Ryan Coogler is very quickly becoming one of my all-time favorite directors, and it's only three movies: Truthvale Station, Creed, and now this. He killed it with this. I don't think anybody else could have done any better.
Yeah, this movie was terrible for me. I'm just kidding, obviously.
I'm about to hang up on you, man.
Yeah, I was going to hear a dial tone. So, for me, this is probably, for me, Marvel's all-around best film. I think this is not only, I don't think it was only a great film. I think it's a very important film. Not only for the MCU and Disney and whatever, and for fans of comic books or whatever, but I think even for society in general. Like, I don't want to give into the hype of you know how we are, bro. We go see a movie and we're like, this is the best fucking movie ever. I don't want to fall into that kind of hype, but this movie right now is my favorite movie in the MCU. I mean, it's completely shot to the top of, over the top of Winter Soldier. And it's jumped into my top five films of all time. I'm not even going to, front.
I want to say I'm right there with you. I really do. But it's that shiny new toy syndrome. I don't want to fall into that. So that's the only reason I'm not going to say it. But I'm basically right there with you. It is so hard to even compare this with, because I'm with you, obviously, with Winter Soldier, and this movie, I was feeling emotions from the jump on this movie, and I'm like, why am I welling up right now at points that nothing was happening that was, emotional. It just, the passion of the drums, and when I can't go into spoilers, it's just the
yeah, people, not yet.
The lore, everything about it was just getting me emotional, and I had tears coming down. I want to say almost half the movie, I kept wiping tears off my face.
Yo, I gotta tell you, I we'll get into it a little more later in where it happened, but I cried during this movie. I was crying. My wife looked at me, and she grabbed my face, and she was wiping. I was like, oh shit, I didn't even know what happened. I was staring at the screen. I'm holding my wife's hand, and all of a sudden I'm feeling like shit on my face, like just falling down my face, like leaking. And she just looked at me.
We can't talk spoilers.
No, it's not yet. That's why.
I think, me knowing you the way I do, I think I know what the scene is, but I won't say it till spoilers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to say where, but I'm just saying, I was there, and I just started, we'll get into it a little more later, but.
Yeah, definitely.
As far as performances in this movie, I don't know of the last time I've seen an ensemble movie like this with so many characters that I've cared about all of them. That's what I'm saying. I was invested in every character.
Definitely.
There was no character in it that for me was like, why? Like, you know, you could always pick out a point that you're like, okay, I didn't really need this, or why is this guy here? Like, I don't want to see you. I want to see this other person. And it's just like, everybody, when they were on screen, I was completely invested. Like, I literally got lost in this movie. It's just phenomenal. I really, again, I don't want to, you said shiny toy syndrome. That's something that's definitely real, but I don't know, bro. You know, we saw Doctor Strange, we saw the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I just watched The Last Jedi. And I can't put The Last Jedi, I wouldn't put it in my top five. I didn't think it was the best movie of the year, even though I enjoyed the hell out of it. But this movie, like, just blew me away completely.
Yeah, I agree. And my wife was also a fan of these movies with me. She was right there with me. She came out of the theater. She was so happy, ecstatic, and she already claimed it her number one movie out of the whole universe.
Yes.
It was so much to ingest. Like, I couldn't even speak. I was just like, what did I just see right now? But her excitement, and it just, I felt everything she was feeling. Nothing was negative, I could tell you that much.
Yeah. I said this off air, but I was leaving work, and my wife texted me. We had a dog that was getting, she was at the groomer, she was going to pick it up, and she's texting me back and forth, and then she sends me a text message after I thought we were done talking, and I look at it, and she goes, so, I really want to see Black Panther again. I was like, shit, we could go do that today. But then I was like, you know what, let me chill. I know I'm waiting for Joe. I don't know what time we're going to do this thing. I don't want to like mess it up. So we're definitely going to go again. But the fact that she said that is, I mean, I don't even need to add anything to that. The fact that she's just like, let's go again is crazy. Cause she's not a repeat viewer of theater movies at all.
If I didn't have, you already know, if it wasn't for the fact that I got to take my son, drop him off, drive an hour to the theater, drive an hour to pick up my son, I would go through all that again, definitely, but it's not really up to me. But I cannot wait to own this movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I have I know you have the same copy I sent you. I have something here that says what this adds to the MCU. I think we should save that for spoiler territory. So I'll move down to theater experiences. Now, I made a mistake at the beginning. I said you saw it today. I know you saw it yesterday.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to go Thursday, and it was the first showing in the area I live at. It was the first showing on the first day on Thursday. So we went at 7, and I don't know if your experience was maybe similar or if you saw some of the same things I saw, but yo, there were people, and I was shocked because I live in this is like an old, mainly Jewish community, like elderly people, a lot of New Yorkers, especially the area that I'm in. And yo, there were people there dressed in African garments. They were wearing, bro, they had on scarves, and there was a dude with a kufi on. He had on, another lady had a headdress, and it was just, like, families of, like, black folks, and it was so beautiful. Like, I just, because it's crazy for me to say this, because you don't see a lot of black folks in this area. It's just the way, it's just the area that I live in. You just, this little square part of where I live at, like I work and wherever else. Yeah. It's mixed. I work with a lot of Haitian people and there's a lot of Spanish people in my job, but where I live at, there's not as many black folks around here. So to see so many and what they were had on and what they were wearing, they had so much pride. It added so much more to the experience of the theater. Cause I'm not gonna, you know, I'm obviously not African American. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend I understand what the struggle is. Although us as Latins have gone through our own struggles, but to say that I understand the struggle of the black man, I can say I understand up to a point. So
right.
To be in the theater and to hear like, there were parts of the movie where, like, their excitement for it was so much more different than what my excitement was. And for me to be able to experience that was, it was a big part of the, it was a big, big part of the experience for me.
Yeah, I can only imagine, man. That sounds awesome. I mean, people were making fun of it, like, on social media, that that's what they were going to do. And knowing that people actually did it, because that wasn't my experience. Unfortunately, I didn't get any of that. But I wanted to ask you, did you get any of the sweet merch that they offered for seeing it the first?
Yeah, sweet merch. Fucking another poster. Another little square 8x10 poster that I can add to the fucking 8x10 posters that I have in the closet.
Yo, it's a poster I don't have, man. I'm kind of jealous. I don't care if it's a small poster.
These tiny little posters. But I'm thinking about getting, like, a big frame and just throwing all... I got, like, six of them shits in the closet.
And it's just because it's this movie. Because this movie, that's the only reason. Anything else, and I love the Marvel Universe, but anything else I wouldn't have cared about getting. But this movie has a lot of significance that I wouldn't mind having that, like, on my son's room wall or something like that. But yeah, no, my theater experience for the most part, it was tame. You know, we got a little ovation at the end or whatever, but the theater was packed, obviously. And I didn't do the IMAX, but I did the rumble seats.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I can't speak spoilers. Oh, it's so hard.
Not yet.
It's so hard.
Not yet.
But my theater experience was fantastic. We had a very good time. And like I said, I was a little B-I-T-C-H the whole time, crying during this whole movie. Like, if I was the one who went through the struggles. But, yeah. This movie is very powerful, and I'm so happy about what it's, the doors that it's opening, the eyes that it's opening, because you know Hollywood's taking notice now. And with the amount of money and the amount of attention that this is getting, things are going to change in Hollywood. And that's a minor thing. But what it's doing for little boys and little girls, and seeing a Black Panther commercial with a predominantly black little boy and a black little girl and one little white boy in the background, that got me emotional. Like, I was like, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
To see a little kid come out with his Black Panther claws and he's the focal point of the commercial, that was amazing to me in itself. So seeing this movie, I can only imagine how it actually feels for a little black boy or a little black girl to actually see this and how they feel knowing that they have that now.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. I was going to go into that same kind of point. You know, in the times that we're living in right now, there seems to be a lot of, like, changes happening. And I've said before on previous podcasts, I think for the most part, they're all positive. And to see a movie like this where, yo, people on social media, not to segue, but people on social media, you said that they were making fun of, you know, people being dressed up and whatever. Mm-hmm. People have been posting, like, oh, what about this movie? Everybody seems to forget about this. Everybody's talking about Black Panther. And they're posting pictures of Meteor Man.
No.
Like, no. Bro, really? Meteor Man compares to this movie?
That's just disrespectful, if you ask me, because Meteor Man, that is what they were able to do back in the day. So to me, that's just disrespectful, and you can't even count, don't even say Blade, because Blade's the anti-hero also. So yeah. As phenomenal as those movies were at the time, you can't even count Blade. And that's the most realistic black comic book hero that they had. Because you can't go Meteor Man and you can't go Blank Man. I don't even want to hear Blank Man.
Yo, somebody posted Blank Man. And I'm like, yo, you, y'all are just trying to, like, be the internet, like, clown guy. Like, you have to hate on something just to hate it. It just made no sense to me that people were posting things like that. But
yeah.
Going back to the original point, you know, that's a great point that you said. I can't imagine what it's like to be, like, a young African-American male and your parents take you to this theater, and you know you're dressed a certain way, and you go to see this powerful, this just powerful character. There was no clowning at all in the movie. It wasn't like, it was crazy. It was like a, you've never seen this. You've never seen a big budget production, like high octane, incredibly well performed black ensemble cast like this. I can't remember the last time this happened, if it's ever happened, because there's always some kind of corniness or some urban thing that you could tell that it's like a white person trying to do it, and it's not, it wasn't anything like this. So to be a young male and seeing this, and you're able to like have a role model now, like this could be me, like I can be Black Panther, is I'm a little jealous actually, because I mean we had it in comic books, like we used our own imaginations to, we could be whatever we wanted, but then to see that as a little kid on the big screen is gotta be a great feeling. It's just fantastic that it's a reality.
Yeah, I actually saw a picture today of little girls dressed up as the Dora Milaje, and that was so cool to see. Like it made me smile from ear to ear seeing that. So so much I want to say, but I don't want to go into spoilers.
I think honestly we're done. I just like final I guess we could do final non-spoiler thoughts on the movie.
Go see this movie, do yourself a favor, don't even think about it, just go and see it, especially if you're a Marvel fan, a Marvel Cinematic Universe fan. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't go see this movie.
Yeah, if you like things that are incredible and entertaining and nice and like wonderful, then definitely take the time. Like, speak with your wallet. Like, if you want to see more things like this, speak with your money. Absolutely. Go out there, absolutely, pay the ticket, get you a big fat thing of popcorn and a drink, and for 2 hours, just sit there and lose yourself in this world.
I cannot feel it at all. And I looked at the time when the movie started. Because I was worried about picking up my son, and I was like, wow, 2 hours. I was so lost in this movie, those 2 hours flew.
I was mad when it finished.
I agree.
I was mad. I was like, fuck, man, really? But, yeah, guys. Ladies and gents, that is the end of the non-spoiler portion of this Everything Twin Cast Black Panther review. So, me and La Voz, definitely in agreement. Every thumbs up that you can possibly put up in the air for this movie is up. Go see this movie if you're on the fence. Definitely go check it out. Now, spoiler territory incoming. If you do not want to hear spoilers, turn off this podcast now. So, okay, we are now free to talk about whatever we like. So,
Forrest Whitaker dies.
Yo, Forrest Whitaker. Why does Forrest Whitaker always die, bro?
Oh, man.
He always dies. He's like Lawrence Fishburne. They always die, bro.
Oh, man. I could have swore he was going to be like a... Just before I even saw the movie, I was like, watch Forrest Whitaker be dirty or something like that, and he's going to end up turning his back on freaking Black Panther or something, but it wasn't even like that at all. Like, I didn't even notice his younger version had the little slack in his eye and everything. I was like, listen. Oh, shit.
Listen, the opening scene of the movie, like, when they show Wakanda, how Wakanda was created, and the meteor fell from the sky, the whole scene with T'Chaka and the guards when they show up in Oakland, after that scene ended and you heard the little Marvel song starting up to go into the logo, people were standing up and applauding all fucking ready after that. I mean, they were clapping like, yeah! I was like, yo!
That's awesome.
I was like, yo, I'm in the right place. Bro, Michael B. Jordan.
Wow.
Yo.
Wow.
This kid, and I hate to call him a kid, he completely, I mean, and I hate to say this because I don't want it to do a disservice to the rest of the cast, but that dude, the minute that he pops on screen, he steals the entire show. Like, the fact that his arc ends the way it ends really made me, it hurt me. I felt sadness. I don't want to totally give it away quite yet, even though we're doing full spoilers, but bro, Michael P. Jordan, for me, if I didn't already love him as an actor, I'm done.
Well, my only issue with Michael B. Jordan, if I ever had an issue with him, was Human Torch. And I can't even blame him for the atrocity of a movie, because you know how much I love the Fantastic Four.
Of course.
But I've been following him. I didn't watch Friday Night Lights, but I've started watching him since The Wire on HBO.
Yeah.
And he was awesome in that. And then between Fruitvale Station and Creed, that completely erased the atrocities of Stan Forsythe. But this movie, you're right, from the second he showed up on screen, it was like, he was badass, he was an asshole. You didn't know whether to cheer for him or to go against him, or because he actually, you could see his side based on what he went through. You could definitely understand his point, but at the same time, his motives got clouded as he went along by hate. And because once he said, "Burn it all, and I'm going to be the only king," I was like, "Oh, you completely lost it. You completely lost it. It's not even about you. Just like, I'm the king, and ain't nobody taking shit from me." So he killed it. He definitely killed it.
Yeah, he. I didn't. I'm. Admittedly, I'm a little dumb. So when the movie started, I had. I don't know if you knew. Like, if you put it all together, like off the beginning, some people say that they have. I tend to doubt what a lot of people say, but I didn't realize that that was supposed to be. You know, obviously I knew that was T'Chaka, but I didn't realize that that was supposed to be Michael P. Jordan, the little kid looking up at the ship when it was leaving. You know what I'm saying? Until later, when they showed it to you, that he runs into the house and he goes up and sees his father, and his father's dead or whatever. So
I did, because, and it's not because I put it together in the movie, I actually watched the purple carpet of the premiere, and the young man who played the young Killmonger actually showed up on the red carpet, and they were like, "Hey, you're playing a young Michael B. Jordan." And he was like, "Oh, I don't think you're supposed to talk about that." And he was like, "Oh, yeah, nice. That." So, see, once I saw him on the screen, I was like, "Oh, there he is. Okay."
See, so there you go. Marvel Cinematic Universe expert there. So. But like, I didn't put that together at the beginning. So, but just, and I don't want to keep harping on just Michael B. Jordan, because he even though it was like, I honestly, he's the most, to me, the most fleshed out villain that I've seen in the MCU. Because
I was just gonna ask you, does he surpass Loki?
Fuck yeah, yo! Loki. I'm not the biggest Loki fan, bro. You know that? Like, I love him. I love Tom Hiddleston. I don't have anything against Loki. I just sometimes I don't understand, like, what the fuck is your motivation? Like, what do you want, bro? Like, does he just want to be against Thor because he's jealous of how much his father loved Thor and not him? Like, because he's not totally evil. Like, he's not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, right. Sometimes I have issues with him. Like, you team up with Thor, but then you, like, he just, so for me, he's not like top of the line of the food chain. And Thanos, we haven't seen him yet, so I can't say, you know what I mean, whether he's, you know, fully fleshed out or what have you. we've seen bits and pieces of Guardians of the Galaxy and end credit scenes and whatnot. But, you know, I would say before this movie, probably the best villain for me, which is like an anti-villain slash hero, whatever, would be the Winter Soldier when he was in the second Captain America movie or whatever. And turns out he's not really a villain, but...
And because of this movie, we know he's doing a lot better.
Yeah. But, so he's gonna get a fucking vibranium arm, you think?
Wow. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I mean, what else are they gonna, why wouldn't they give him one? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's gonna have a fucking unbreakable arm now. That's wild. Man, I had a point that I wanted to get across and I completely forgot, but it doesn't matter. There's so much to talk about. We can get into literally anything. So,
well, yeah, the Michael B. Jordan, before we move on, I want to say he's definitely above Tom Hiddleston. He killed it. I wish, because he did such a good job, that they wouldn't have killed him off when he gave him the option.
Yeah.
We can probably save you, but that last line that he said so much by saying so little, and it was the perfect send-off for his character.
Yeah, man.
I want to be buried in the ocean just like my ancestors were. It was such a powerful line, and it stuck with me. Even after the rest of the movie was going on, I was thinking about that line. So... I'm not mad that he's dead, but I kind of wish he would have lived.
That's funny you say that, because I posted that quote today on social media, because I'm like a little kid. Like, I want to talk about it online, but I haven't.
I didn't see that. I've been so busy today, I didn't see that. Wow.
I just loved the heck out of that.
I would have shared it.
Yeah, I just put it in quotations. I didn't even write anything else, and then I put the little fist under it. I didn't want to repeat it because I don't have it in front of me. I don't want to butcher it, but that just spread my ashes into the ocean where my ancestors jumped off of the boats because they believed in freedom over bondage. I don't know if that's the correct line, but bro, I was so fucking torn when he pulled that blade out of him. I was like, no, take him to the thing, save him, bro. And he's dead. Like, he's just dead. Such a powerful... Like, his motivations were not... Like, he was a bad guy. He was a bad guy, bro. Like, he killed his girlfriend without even hesitation. He killed Claw. They killed Claw, bro.
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. But you understood what he was doing. Whether I didn't agree with it, I mean, I want people to be empowered, but damn, that he was trying to take over the world and shit.
Like I said, I think he had at first. It's just like Kingpin, and you think you have good intentions, and as you go along, it starts to get muddled, and you start going down the wrong path. That's basically what happened to him. He wanted to help by taking the resources of Wakanda and helping his people outside in the world instead of just the people in Wakanda. So, but then his passion and drive to do that it led him down a dark path. That's the way I see the character.
Yeah, he was literally drunk with power. Like, he had so much power that he was like, well, fuck it, we're going to send these ships out everywhere, and we're going to send this out to our striker units, and we're going to go. Like, when he revealed his tattoo on his arm, I was like, oh, holy shit, this guy is serious, bro. Like, he got every one of these is for a kill. Then when he took his shirt off, his whole.
Okay, I thought you were talking about the one on his lip. I'm like...
No. Yeah, he pulls off the... I guess that's not a tattoo. It's more like a... I guess he said tattoo. I think he said tattoo, but those aren't really tattoos. It's like a... It's like a marking, like a branding that you do.
A branding, yeah.
Yeah, when he pulled his arm sleeve off and he showed it, I was like, damn, that's a lot of people. Yo, and when he took his shirt off, bruh, His whole body was covered with them shits. Like, he's killed hundreds of people, bro. All over the world. And he just... And again, I don't know, bro. That's why I feel like he's definitely the most fleshed out villain. Maybe, you know, not the best villain of Marvel, you know, Marvel U. But he was the most fleshed out where I understood what he was trying to do. And I felt for him at the same time. But I still was like, damn, this guy's a bastard. Like, he's a bad guy. There's no in between whether or not he's a bad guy or not.
Right.
And that's just credit to Michael B. Jordan for his acting. It's just, fuck, man, that guy. He killed it. So, what else did you love about this movie? Besides everything.
Well, I had this conversation the whole ride with my wife. It was hard to come up with one thing that I loved about this movie overall. It was very hard, but what I loved was the fact that Marvel didn't spoil anything in the trailers.
Yes.
The trailers didn't give away anything. They gave us little scenes from the beginning of the movie, and the rest was all a surprise, all of it. But if one scene, either was actually the scene from the trailer, that whole car chase was phenomenal.
Yo.
That whole, what is it, his sister, Letitia Wright, is Shuri.
Yes.
Her driving the car from the Wakandan mines, that was insane. And him being on top of the car, it was fun. It was dope. My jaw was open. I was like,
Patrick
Ewing.
Exactly. Yo, and just fair warning to anybody listening, I am going to mispronounce a lot of these names, but...
Don't try to get me on saying them right.
Yeah.
I'm attempting to say them right, but if I get them wrong, don't jump down my throat.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. I mean, I wrote these down, but Danai Gurira, who played Okoye, is that how you say her name? Okoye. That's the best you're gonna get out of me, bro. Okoye.
Okoye.
Yo, when Claw blew up their fucking car, and she was flying through the air, and she grabbed her spear, and she impaled a piece of that car and surfboard. Yo, that movie. Like, you talk about range of emotions, bro. This movie made me laugh out loud. It made me cry. It made me shut the fuck up and just, like, motionless. I had, like, literally every emotion in this movie. So, that was one of those scenes where I just was like, she was in the air in slow-mo, and I don't know if the people who created that in the movie wanted to get that out of people to just sit there and go, and just like pause, because that's what I did. I was like, holy shit, and just it was crazy.
She stole the show, man. She
for
really
sure.
Did. What was her name again? I'm sorry.
Danai.
Okoye.
Yeah, Okoye.
Danai
Gurira. Yeah. Yeah.
She stole the show. I don't know who I loved more between her and Shuri. Shuri was fantastic too. She was great. But I think Danai, she stole the show, other than the guys, of course. It's Black Panther's movie, but she... And you know, I know you're not a big fan of The Walking Dead, but you know she's the chick from Walking Dead, right?
Is she Michonne?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta watch that show then, because and you know I don't like that show. But
no,
I didn't know she was Michonne. That's crazy. I know it's funny. I don't watch that show, but I know who all those characters are because of the freaking comics.
Yeah, I fell off a long time ago because it just started getting old to me. But she was definitely one of my favorite parts of the show. And seeing her in this, trying to be sexy with the hair, and it was hard.
The show was hilarious.
Such a badass. That was hysterical.
But she fucked up in Korea, though. She fucked up. She could have kept it together a little better in Korea, bro. She was just like, my cover's blown, and she just started fucking people up. I'm like, yo, chill. What the fuck you doing?
She's ready to fight, man.
Yeah,
she's
wild. Yo, Daniel Kaluuya, the dude from the movie, everybody knows him from the movie Get Out, which I don't know if you've seen that movie.
No, I've been sleeping on it, but it's on my list.
Yeah, I know you guys are not into horror. I guess you could call it a horror movie because at the end it kind of gets a little horror-ish, but man.
Yeah, I thought it was more of a suspense.
Wow. He played Wakabi, which I guess is like T'Challa's quote-unquote best friend or whatever, like the best friend character.
Yeah, I didn't remember his name, so thank you for that.
Yeah, it was Wakabi. I actually took some notes today, like actually trying to be semi-professional here. yeah, he played Wakabi, and he was freaking phenomenal in this movie. He's a great actor on his own, because I've seen him in that. I've seen him in Black Mirror, and now in this. I liked his character a lot, because the character was like loyal to Wakanda, on top of that, he was loyal to Wakanda, but he did want changes. Like, he felt like he never got justice for his father's dying. It was his father or his uncle? I confused myself. I think it was his uncle that was killed, right? His uncle was Killmonger's pops.
Is that right?
That's all I'm asking you. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure this is what it was. Because Forrest Whitaker was the spy dude who was with Killmonger's pops. And right. I'm pretty sure that was Wakabi's uncle. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. But he was really motivated to get, to help Killmonger. Well, I'm confusing myself now. Hold on, now I gotta think back.
I just thought he was part of another tribe and was just friends with... If that was mentioned, I missed that.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Because I know he was helping Killmonger because Killmonger got his... He brought him Claw, so he got his revenge, quote-unquote, for... Oh, no, Claw killed this dude's mom and pops. That's what it was. Ulysses Claw killed Wakabi's mother and father, and he wanted to kill him.
That I do remember.
Yeah, and the Black Panther failed to bring him back, and then Killmonger killed him and brought him to him. Yada 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 yada. Yada. But I thought he was great in the movie.
People yelling at their radios.
Yeah, they're screaming right now, "You idiots!
You don't know shit."
Fucking podcast sucks. Yeah, man, I'm gonna tell you, we could go through all these names. Lupita was great in this movie. Obviously, this movie's called Black Panther, and we've yet to talk about Chadwick Boseman's turn as T'Challa in the movie. That's how good everybody else is, because he was great.
Yeah, no, he was phenomenal.
And everybody, even Winston Duke, he played M'Baku, which was the leader of that, the first dude that challenged T'Chaka.
Yeah, well,
guys.
They call him the Manny. But
you don't want to do that.
He was dope.
But those people, they were scary. And if they were supposed to be scary, they were very scary to me. I would not want to.
Bro, when they told whatchamacallit to shut up.
Yeah.
And they were just I was like, bro, all right, I'm gonna shut up now.
Yeah, definitely stop talking right now. Yeah, everybody. I just give everybody a fucking round of applause because they were all phenomenal. So, let me ask you: was there anything in the movie that you thought? And again, just having an eagle eye for these movies, was there anything you felt that maybe was weak?
No, you're not going to get anything out of me. I'll nothing tell you that right now.
Well,
I've heard minor nitpicking about it, and one of them was the CG.
That's
about how it looked spaghetti-ish and stuff like that.
That's so ignorant.
I didn't have a problem with anything.
The CG, this is what I don't understand about people. What do you expect? There's no amount. How much money do you think these people put into this movie? There's no more money, literally, that you could put into. They had Industrial Light and Magic doing the effects for this movie. There's no one better than Industrial Light and Magic. So if they made this movie, that's top of the line shit. That means that technically, there's nothing better that can be done. So for you to say that the CG looks cartoonish, is fucking ignorant. It really is. It's
when Killmonger and Black Panther were falling,
yeah,
and they're fighting and they're bouncing off of each other, I'm looking at it very closely, like, what is wrong with this?
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with this. It's two guys literally falling, and they're trying to keep going at each other. How you really need to be nitpicking to think that there's anything wrong with what you're seeing right now.
Yeah, literally. Like, if you want to complain about CG, go watch the first Blade, the second Blade, when they're fighting in his freaking garage. And
and I'm sorry to do this to you, because I know you're a fan, but your Justice League, when I first saw your boy Steppenwolf turn around, I was like, ew!
Yeah, because he's...
That was my first reaction to that.
And that's the thing. That's the thing with... First of all, he looked stupid. He really did. He looked stupid. He had, like, these horns and that sandy face. And then number two, he's...
Oh, my God, it was so bad. That was bad CG. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's completely CGI. It's just... He looks like a cartoon. That's bad CGI. That, I can tell you, is bad CGI. You got to kind of swallow it and do your thing. Well... Okay, so you know me. You know, yeah, I always got to find something. Now, this does not take away anything, any kind of enjoyment that I had in the movie. It just kind of afterwards.
Yeah. Go
ahead. Yeah, you know me, bro. I the one issue that I had, and it's one issue, and it compounds from there, because it's not like I have a bunch of issues. I don't. I really don't. I love this movie. Again, probably. It's in my top five. Could be top three, bro. I don't know. It might be. But for me, so they have this meteor falls down from the sky. And over all these years, they make this technology. So you're telling me that Shuri is creating all of this shit by herself? Because she's the only one in there. In the goddamn wherever they were underground, she created the railway. She creates the railway for the vibranium. She said she created the fucking railway. She created the railway. She's creating all these weapons. She heals Everett Ross. However the hell she did it with vibranium. So. Is she some kind of super genius, or did she, like,
well,
is she...
She's up there. She rivals Tony Stark with how smart she is. But I don't think it was just her down there, was it? There were other people...
There was no one else there! It was her, Black Panther, Ross, I was gonna say the Spy Girl. What a disrespect. Nakia? And they were the only ones down there. There was no one else down there that I don't see anybody walking by. They could have at least had somebody walk by with a clipboard and a fucking a lab coat.
I could have sworn there were people in the background, like, you know, moving vials of vibranium or something.
I don't remember seeing anybody else. It's just like she's there and she's in control of all this shit. Well, actually, when she's showing him all the armor and whatever, yeah, there were other people, like, in the lab. But in the scene where they're healing Everett Ross, I know there wasn't supposed to be anybody else down there because they were kind of sneaking him in to heal him or whatever. But I'm just like, yo, did she create all this shit by herself? And she's what, like 17, 18 years old? Like, the fuck is going on?
That's one of the things I heard about her from various sources, that she's just as smart, or if not smarter, than Tony Stark with all that vibranium that they have. So Tony doesn't have access to that. So she's created a ton of shit that is up there with Tony Stark status. So
you know, it'd be dope, something that I was thinking about, and this might make fans of a certain character angry, but could you imagine if she, you know, Infinity War happens, and let's say Iron Man doesn't make it, and she becomes Ironheart. That would be some dope shit. I know there's some Riri Williams fans out there that are angry right now, but that would be some dope shit. She took up the mantle of Iron Man and she became fucking Ironheart. I could see that.
She also does take the mantle of the Black Panther at some point, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
So maybe that won't work on that, but it could.
What they
this
could.
This is the Marvel Universe has made changes, so it is something that could be possible.
Yeah, and this is total fantasy land type shit. But could you imagine if Netflix decided, yo, let's make a show about her in Oakland, where she's running the Wakandan Outreach Center during the day and fighting crime at night? That shit would be so gangster.
Yeah, she was definitely a cool character. I have no problem with seeing more of her.
And really, besides that, that was really the only thing that was kind of like, I was kind of like, really? And not to take, you know, away from her. If she's a genius, she's a genius. But I just found it odd that everything was like directed towards her. Like he was like, no, you do it. You make the thing. You do the thing. You create. And it was just like, damn, is she? She's running all this shit. Like, does she just make all these things? That was really the only thing I was.
The one thing that I was at first having a problem with, but then it took a minute, but it clicked, was Claw. The way he was acting was like he was Joker. I was like, was he like this in Age of Ultron? And it took me a minute. I was like, yeah. He was offering them candy.
Yeah.
And he was being a clown the whole time. And I was like, okay, so this is the way he is. But we had such a small dose of him, and I haven't actually seen Age of Ultron probably since last year. I'm doing a MCU run right now.
Nice. But,
and that's the next movie I need to watch. So, just him, he was being so out there that I was like, is this how he acted? But it was so much more toned down in Age of Ultron, because he wasn't sure what he was dealing with or whatever. And this, he was like free. He was happy. He was, ain't nobody messing with me. So I was like, okay. But at first I had a little problem with it. And then I realized, I came to my senses. I was like, okay, this is just him being more, he had his arm chopped off and freaking into all time. I wouldn't be too happy with it. So.
You got to think about it too. Before Ultron chops his arm off, he transferred him like fucking $400 billion to his bank accounts.
That's right.
So he's got billions of dollars. He got his arm chopped off. They gave him some kind of.
He bought that fancy ass arm.
Yeah, they gave him all that tech, and he's just running around the world acting nuts. I thought he was fantastic. He was great. I was kind of sad to see him die, because you know, you followed him through a couple films and. But you know, I see he was a plot device, really. So it was, and you know, you never know what can happen. But I'm pretty sure he's dead. And again, I'm basically. Besides that, I'm good. I don't really have anything else that I had a problem with in the movie. And to say that I had a problem with that, I didn't. It was just something in my head that was ringing back there, like, how the hell is she doing all these things?
Right. And you're saying you don't remember seeing people, and I'm saying I do, so if you go for a second run, let me know if there were people in the background.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look out for all the little things the second time around. Hopefully I get to do that, but yeah, man, we went over performances. I don't know, man.
I'm not shortchanging anybody. Everybody did such a good job. What's her name? Black Panther's mom.
Oh, Angela Bassett, man.
She probably was the one out of everybody who was shortchanged.
Yeah.
But she, even the little bit of time that she had, she did a good job.
The ageless wonder, bro. She don't look like she aged a goddamn day.
My wife said that she has white hair because she is from the tribe that Storm's from.
Oh my god.
That blew my mind when she said that. I was like, yo, good job.
Wow, that's like a, you know what, we're getting divorced and I'm marrying you again.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I was like, good job, that's a good one. Wow. I was like, I didn't even put that together myself. That's something they can do.
That's a mind blown moment right there. Yeah, and that's the thing too, like, I'm like, this is a good segue for the next segment. I'm looking at this movie, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a really important movie for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, it's not just a Black Panther movie. And now Black Panther can be in the movie. This is a big deal. Like, they're going to take their tech and bring it into the world now. So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I was already thinking ahead, like, Infinity War now. The way they're all these people are going to be able to communicate is with those communication devices that they have. I'm sure.
Fantastic. That was dope.
Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, they'll be able to breathe in space now. Like, the thing is, with the Wakanda, they can use it like a deus ex machina, where they need something that, like, they need a device, and it's like, oh, here you go, we have this, and they'll be able to, you know what I'm saying, get away with things. Like, we could breathe in space now, because we got this stuff from Wakanda, we got this device from, you know, Shuri or whoever else.
Right.
It's a big deal, because it's literally gonna change the world. And I know that they're going to make these outreach centers. They're not going to give all of their, you know, all their secrets, but they'll definitely give, you know, medical technology. They might give weapons to the Avengers and stuff like that, slowly but surely. But I think this movie's a game changer completely for the whole universe, bro.
Well, jumping ahead a little bit, we see that Tony's suit is over here forming to him. Is that the same technology as Black Panther's suit?
Yeah, it
could
be.
Or is it nanotech? You know, does Tony take it to another level? Take that Wakanda tech and take it to another level? It remains to be seen, but that was the first thing I thought of when I saw that.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he's, because in the comic, that's basically the Extremist armor, so I don't know if maybe he's mixing Extremist a little bit with Wakanda tech, and it kind of evens out the, you know, exploding body thing. Yeah, I don't know. It could do that. They could go so many ways now, just in adding all this technology, especially since they're going to be going to space now, and they're going to be doing this Infinity War, which is going to be nuts. I was hoping to see maybe a new trailer, but, you know, those things debut on YouTube before you see them in the theater, so it's kind of like false hope. But
Did you get an Infinity War trailer?
I didn't get shit, bro. They showed a goddamn the Venom trailer. People were laughing at that trailer, bro.
This is the same in my theater.
They were laughing. When Tom Hardy started shaking his head, and the people were laughing at that shit, I was like, bro, turn this off. You don't even show Venom. Like, fuck out of here.
That was such a waste of a trailer. Yeah. I'm still not pooping on that movie, but I'm not happy by that showing. You did not need to give that to us.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've seen, I got a lot of Tom Hardy movies I've purchased because he's great. One of my favorite movies of his is The Drop that he did with James Gandolfini, RIP. He's a freaking phenomenal actor, but this just is like, between that freaking rah-rah video they recorded in front of a whole group of people that showed nothing, and then this forced out trailer that they showed, I mean, you know, first of all, it's Fox. There's a Fox. No, it's Sony. It's Sony fucking Pictures. So, I can't get hyped about that movie at all. But again, people were laughing at the trailer. So what does that tell you? Nah, bro. They showed Ant-Man and the Wasp trailer, which was cool to see on the big screen. But it was the same trailer. They showed the. They didn't show The Incredibles. They didn't show Infinity War. I forgot what else they showed. The Mission Impossible, bro. They showed that trailer. I'm excited about that movie, actually, because to see Tom Cruise fighting Superman is this shit looks bugged out. But anyway, Black Panther. I think we've basically covered everything except the post-credit scenes. And honestly, I don't think there's too much in those scenes, but we can go over them. The first one was What Can Wakanda Offer, which he was basically having like the little press conference that they're going to be sharing tech, which I really didn't get the point of that scene. Maybe I missed something in that scene that I was supposed to get or see or something. But I really didn't get the point of that at all. It was just, I don't even think it was needed, to be honest with you. I don't know how you felt when you saw that. Maybe you caught something I didn't.
I took it as more of underestimating what they are.
Yeah.
And in the small sense and in the larger sense, you don't know until you open up to it. So we're gonna show you what we're capable of, what we can do, as long as you give us a chance. That's all I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was, I thought they kind of touched on that during the movie. I think there was a scene somewhere in the movie where they kind of did that, but I could just be imagining that also. But, again, I didn't get too much out of that scene. That was basically all it was. They were just kind of like, well, what are you going to give us? You guys are poor. And then he just looks at the camera like, bruh, and it just ends the scene. The second scene was, and I'll admit that I already knew what the second scene was. Of course, because I can't help myself. So I just labeled it White Wolf. So basically, these kids it kind of looks like somebody's waking up, and there's three kids just standing over a person, and one of the kids calls him White Wolf, and they run out of the tent. Suri's out there, and then out comes Bucky Barnes with no arm. So it seems like
all refreshed and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah, so it seems like, because the last time we saw him was at the end of Civil War, where he was being frozen, but apparently he hasn't been frozen. He's been maybe rehabilitated, and he's finding himself in Wakanda. And then Suri kind of talks to him for a second, and they walk off. Now, interesting note is that they call him White Wolf, which is a character in the Black Panther comics. White Wolf is a mercenary who almost dies in Wakanda. He gets healed. He becomes attached to T'Challa. He kind of becomes his half-brother, and he ends up leading like a special forces unit that operates inside and outside of Wakanda. So, I don't know if maybe they're going to have Winter Soldier do that. I don't know if maybe it's just a coincidence that they just called him White Wolf because he's white.
Right.
But it was pretty cool to see Bucky Barnes. Again, I'm a big fan of Winter Soldier, so it was always good to see him.
A little nod to the original character, because he needs to be Cap if Cap is going to be done. Who knows what's going to happen in Infinity War, but he needs to be the next Cap.
Man, I'm hoping and praying that if Captain America perishes in Infinity War, man, that he hands Bucky that shield, and Bucky decides to take up the mantle of Captain America from the man. That was some of my favorite comics of this new era. Was that Bucky Barnes Captain America run was fantastic, bro. If they could do that in the movies, I would be very happy.
Based on Winter Soldier, every time I see Cap fling that shield Adam while Winter Soldier's running, and then he turns around and catches it and throws it right back with even more. Who else is going to be able to throw that shield the way that Cap does?
Yeah.
It ain't going to be freaking Anthony Mackie.
Nah, I don't want to see Falcon Cap, man. I like Falcon and everything, but I'm not ready for all that, bro.
No, not right away anyway.
And I was watching Civil War today, and that at the end when they're double teaming Iron Man and throwing the shield back and forth, I was just smiling like, yes. Yo. I was like, yo, can you imagine if he's Captain America, bro? It'd be crazy. So, man, we have basically come to the end of this program. So, what do you think? Final thoughts on the movie? Full spoiler.
The movie's phenomenal, man. It's definitely in my top five. I don't want to give it an exact rating just yet because out of all of everything put together, because I love all of these movies. I don't have hate for any of the movies in the MCU, so it's hard for me to rank these movies, period. But this one is definitely in my top five. I am a huge Black Panther fan now, which I am ashamed to say that I wasn't before. And if you see this movie, you will definitely feel the same way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. You couldn't have said it better myself. I 100% agree with that view. Again, I think this movie is very important. I think it's not only for MCU, but for just movies in general. I think that if people want to see more things like this, they need to go out and support it and stop talking shit on Twitter. Did you hear about these people on IMDb giving it like zero ratings?
I heard about the Facebook group. I didn't hear about IMDb.
I went on IMDb because I wanted to write down the names of the actors and their characters. So I'm like, oh, let me look at these ratings, because this rating's 7.8. At least it was the other day. Now it's at like 98%. But I was reading the reviews and they're like, oh, horrible movie. This movie sucks. It's boring. But I'm like, yo, what? What is this? And I was just on, before I got on here with you, I was on YouTube, and I saw one video of some guy, and it said Black Panther disappointing. So I'm like, I know this guy just did that so I could click on his video, but I'm going to click on it. I was like, I'm going to click on this because I want to see what the fuck, and I'm going to dislike your video, but I need to know what the fuck is going on. So I listened to about 3 minutes of it, and he was complaining about that the movie, first of all, he was complaining that the first action sequence where they're in the jungle, he couldn't see anything because Black Panther was black and it was too dark and it wasn't edited properly. That was his first complaint.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he was complaining that the movie started off phenomenal, and then the first scene with the challenge, how did those people climb up there on that mountain? And so I was like, you know what? Turn this shit off. I disliked his video. He was complaining about how the fuck they climbed up on the mountain. The people that were there. I was like, vete pa la mierda, bro. I disliked this video. And then I closed that shit out. And then I went into the... Yeah, I was like, I'm not watching this. He's just trying to get views, bro. But
you just reminded me of something before we sign off.
Oh yeah.
What got you emotional?
Oh man,
I'm gonna guess it was when he got on his knees with his father.
Damn, nigga, if you man, if people didn't know you were my brother already, bro. Not even.
You have a thing with father son relationships.
You know I got daddy issues, bro. It's no secret that I got daddy issues.
Especially being a father now, bro. That scene broke my heart.
That's gotta be. It's funny because the scene. So when they said that, you know, he takes the herb and they're like, okay, you're gonna see your father, whatever. In my head, I was like, oh god, here we go. You know how you do with father son things, bro. Just chill. So he goes into...
I know
how I am, bro. And I'm there with my wife. I'm there with my wife. And I'm like, yo, if I start crying, she's going to cry. And we're both going to be like assholes crying in the theater. So I'm like, all right, here we go. He's going to see his pops. Just chill. He's in the forest. He sees the Panthers, which that shit was so dope. When the Panthers were in the tree. And they just jumped down off the tree and shit. And then his pops shows up. And he's talking to his father, and you know, I'm good, I'm fine. And then he's talking to him, and I kind of feel it a little bit, but I'm like, nah, I'm good. Yo, he got down on his knees, and he said, I'm sorry. That was it. I felt that fucking leaking on the side of my face. And I was like, oh, are you serious, bro? And that's when the wife looked at me, and she started crying. I was just there crying like a little bitch, bro. Like a little bitch. Just tears streaming down my face, bro. I was like, I can't believe this is happening to me right now. But
and it's funny because he calls his father Baba.
Yeah, and that's what y'all call Vic.
That's my nickname for my son. So that I was like, you know, holding it in, but like my stomach was going in and out of the child. I fight the tears from coming down. I'm like shaking in my chair.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah, you literally pinpointed the exact moment that shit happened to me. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, that was a big one. But another one that got me, and it was just the, like I said, the whole moment of them chanting him, and they were when he was getting ready to fight. That passion of that scene when he put him in the headlock and he was telling him to tap out.
Yeah.
And everybody cheering against them, that whole, the spears coming at them. I don't know, there was something about that scene that I'm a little bitch, and the tears just started rolling through my face. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe I'm watching this right now.
Yeah, that scene was crazy when the Panthers guards and, I put the note down. Because Killmonger basically had, where is his name? He basically had Wakabi soldiers with him. So when they both had that, they were both kind of like facing off against each other while they were fighting, and they were just getting closer and closer to the edge. I was like, yo, this is intense shit.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I can't recommend this movie enough, man. I really can't. I cannot wait until I can just sit down on my couch and just open Vudu and press play and watch that shit whenever I want.
I might actually break my own rule for this. And my rule is to never go to the theater by myself, because I did it once and it was the most depressing thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh.
but I might actually break my own rule and maybe one day leave work early and just go to the theater and watch this again, because it is definitely worth seeing twice.
Yeah, I'm solo theater writer all day, bro. I
can't do it, man.
Shit. If I can do it, and if I get permiso to do that shit, and I'm allowed, bro, I go do that shit all day. I go in the middle of
That's the other thing. She loved this movie so much. If I tell her I'm going by myself because she was moving, she'll get mad at me.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Absolutely, 100%. But listen, that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the close of the Everything Twincast, the first official Everything Twincast review. Spoiler, non-spoiler of the Black Panther movie. Obviously, we're both in agreement. This movie's phenomenal. You need to go see it if you haven't already. If you guys like the movie, definitely hit us up on social media on either platform. You want to hit us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you want. Find the Everything Podcast. Search for Lou from the BX. Joe, you want to give out your social medias or you want to be Mr. Private Man?
No, you can follow me at Instagram at Broadway J03. Hit me up. Let me know what you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. And ladies and gents, as always, peace and love from the Everything Podcast. You guys have a good night, because this is actually the first night recording I think I've ever done. So I'm actually able to say good night and good luck to all of you. Thank you for joining us. This has been the Everything Podcast. Peace out.
Nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me. Fuck you and all your expectations. I don't even want your congratulations. I recognize your false confidence and calculated promises all in your conversation. I hate people that feel entitled. Look at me crazy cause I ain't invite you. Oh, you important, you the moral to the story. You endorsing motherfucker, I don't even like you. Corrupt a man's heart with a gift. That's how you find out who you're dealing with. A small percentage you I'm building with. I want the credit if I'm losing or I'm winning. Oh, my mama, that's the realest shit. Let's talk about that.